I was thinking as Pastor Zeph was praying, and he used the word gift over and over again, and the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about this sermon series that we're in. It's called The Promise. And we're looking at some promises. We're looking at the promises of hope and peace and joy and love. And I think, isn't that what the world's looking for? I mean, is there anybody in here that doesn't want hope, peace, joy, and love? Anyone? Okay. Usually teenagers might do something. But that's, I mean, people are looking for that. And oftentimes we look for that in the wrong places. And they're a gift. It's a gift from God. These are gifts that he gives us. And so I just want to start out by saying Christmas tells us that God has opened himself up to us. That God is with us. And so as we go through this today, God's open to you. Will you open yourself up to God? See what God wants to do in your lives. This morning we want to talk about peace. In 1863, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he wrote a poem. Anybody know the name of that poem? Christmas Bells, which later became the Christmas Carol. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Is that one a little more familiar? Okay. So a month prior to writing the poem, his oldest son had been severely injured in a Civil War battle. 2 years earlier, Longfellow's wife of 18 years was tragically killed in a house fire. And so on Christmas Day, after going through this, here's what he wrote. He said, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing, peace on earth." Okay. "Like a choir they're singing, peace on earth. And in my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men." He says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And I think most of us, certainly if you've lived long enough, can relate to what Wadsworth is expressing in this poem. That if you live long enough, you're going to experience your share of death, of grief, pain, injustice, hate, and just plain ugliness. Anybody experience that? Okay, pretty much most of you. And then there's these questions like, why did this thing happen to me? Why did this happen to my loved one? Is there really such a thing as peace on earth? I think that's what he's getting at. And what I really love about this song or this poem that he wrote is it goes from the depths of despair to this great hope without denying the realities of life, because that's what we need. We don't need something that we just deny what's going on, but we need hope in the midst of these issues and problems and trials. And Wadsworth continues with this. He said, "Then the bells rang more loud and deep. God is not dead. He does not sleep. Peace on earth, the wrong shall fail and the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men." And then the song continues in its modern format, and it asks us to make a decision. And here's the decision. It says, "Do you hear the bells? They're ringing. Peace on earth. The life of the angel singing, peace on earth. Open up your heart and hear them, peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men." So that's the question. Are we going to hear that? Are we going to open up our hearts to the peace that only Christ can provide to us? And Wadsworth had every, would we agree on that? That he's got every reason to despair. The events in his personal life, it's in the middle of a civil war. So the events around him offered him no hope. But in the midst of brokenness, he chose to believe a better story. He chose to believe a story of hope and a story of peace. And if you go through the Old Testament, how many times do you notice these Old Testament writers, They're crying out for God. They're saying, God, we desperately need you. We're in a terrible situation. We need your peace. We need your hope. We need your justice. Isaiah is one of these great writers that wrote about hope, wrote about peace. In fact, he wrote about the Prince of Peace, not a prince, the Prince of Peace. He believed that God was faithful and that God would absolutely always keep his promises. Do you believe that God is faithful and God answers his promises? I've noticed it's not always on my timeline, but God answers his promises. God is faithful. And so the people in the Old Testament, they were eagerly waiting for God to send rescue. And I read this passage last week, but I want to read it again. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And Isaiah is describing what's going on at the time and the hope that they're going to have for the future. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It's good to hear paper. I know when I first started preaching, that's all I heard. And then a few years in, I noticed people are looking at their phone. But then every once in a while, someone's doing this with it. And I'm like, he's playing a game. He's not reading his Bible. Isaiah 9, no judgment. Whatever you're doing on your phone, that's your business. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Man, I just read through that and I'm like, yes, that's it. That's it. That's what we're looking for right there. And so Isaiah promised that there was a coming ruler that was coming, and he was going to bring in this new government, and his government, his kingdom would have no end. It was going to be everlasting. It's going to come through this child who was born, who is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, at the time of this writing, this isn't a reality. This is a future hope. This is an expectation that God would do this, and it's this hope. And it's this reminder to the Jewish people at the time that God has not forgotten about you. And I think that's a good reminder for us. Because there are times where I think, God, what are you doing? God, you could step in like right now. This would be a good moment. Step in right here. And there's this reminder that God has not forgotten about us. N.T. Wright, he reminds us this. He says, the Christmas story, like Isaiah's prophecy, isn't about an escape from the real world of politics, of economics, of empires, of taxes, and bloodthirsty wars. It is about God addressing these problems at last from within, coming into our world, his world, and shouldering the burden of authority, coming to deal with the problems of evil, of chaos and violence and oppression and all of their horrible forms. So the Christmas story, just like Christianity, is not about an escape. It's not about denying what's going on, but what we have in the Christmas story is an answer from on high. We have Emmanuel, God with us, who's with us in the trials, who's with us in the storms of life. Now, God always, you know, when I think it through, he typically surprises me. Like, so if you're going to send the Son of God, God in flesh, you probably want to make a great announcement about that, right? Like, hey, here he is, King of the universe, Lord of lords, King of kings, Alpha, Omega, you know, all those good things. you want to do that, I would think, in a unique way. Here's how God did it. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Luke chapter 2. Get to the New Testament, flip over a few pages. Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. And the Bible tells us this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were filled with great fear. And an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. And you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So think about it. Where does God make this first and this big announcement? Well, it's not in Caesar or Herod's palace. It's in a field. It's in a field outside of Bethlehem, where there's some shepherds that are watching their flocks during the night. I mean, think about this. This is a nomadic group of guys that are living off the grid. They're probably not clean. They probably don't smell well. Let's just be honest. If you're out there, you know, living outside with the sheep, they're probably a really rough and tumble kind of blue collar crowd. They're scraping, they're scrapping just to earn a living. These are hardworking guys, and yet these are the people. It's not Caesar. It's not the Herods of the world that this birth announcement goes out to. It's these shepherds. It's kind of ordinary people. I mean, kind of like us, minus you guys probably smell better. The reality is this gift of peace, the peace of Christ is for everyone. And I think God is making that very clear and how he's making this announcement. You get this sense that, the rest of the world, they would have announced this to the powerful. They would have announced this to the rich. And I think God wants to tell us, you know, right up front, hey, this is for anyone. You know, if you feel like you're one of the shepherds, if you're one of those people that you're going, man, I just hope I make it to the next paycheck, or I'm just scratching, I'm clawing away to make another day. If you don't feel that you're worthy of his peace, you're in a great place. All right, you're in a great place because the message of peace that Christ offers is for you. The other thing I find fascinating about this is the angels appear to these men out in the field, and their first response is absolute terror. And I think angels must look so much different than the precious moment angels that I've seen. Because, you know, I don't look at them and go, oh, no, you know. Or, you know, and probably get the whole God thing wrong also, because I have people that are like, man, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to be high-fiving Jesus when I walk through the gates. And I'm like, no, you're going to be laying flat out. You're just going to be like, I have never seen anything so holy in all my life. I'm going to be toast. And he's going to be like, it's okay. Get up. You know? And so here's this moment. These angels show up. And the first words that they speak, I think, are words we need to hear today. They're words of peace. The first words they say is, don't be afraid. Man, we got to hear that, right? I mean, you're going through a painful situation right now. Don't be afraid. You're facing some unfavorable diagnosis. Don't be afraid. There's a relationship you're trying to restore. Don't be afraid. Are you anxious about some circumstance going around you? What? Don't be afraid. You guys are good. And here's why. It's not like, hey, just don't be afraid. Suck it up. You know, you guys are shepherds. You're tough. You can handle this. The reason why they don't have to be afraid is because he brings good news. He's bringing good news. That's why we're not to be afraid. Maybe you can use good news today. Well, we have good news. Maybe you're not experiencing peace today. And at the arrival of Jesus, we have very good news. The good news is this: you have not been forgotten by God. God has not forgotten you. He hasn't left you in those circumstances. God himself came to earth to rescue and renew creation through Jesus Christ on our behalf. All right? He came to rescue and renew all of creation, including you. You were created for a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And what does God do? He steps in right in the midst of our struggle. It's in the middle of the struggle that he steps in. And he's born in the city of David. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's the King. He's in charge. He's the one that you have been waiting for. And he is the one that makes all things new. He's the one who meets you where you are. And because of that, let me say this about peace, because I think we get this wrong. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of God. All right? Because we're thinking, well, you know, once I get through this, or once this is over, once this problem's out of my way, I'm going to have peace. You know it's coming around the corner, right? Okay? Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is the presence of God. And one day when we stand before the throne, as Revelation tells us, when there is no more sickness, there is no more death, there is no more dying, and we are in his presence, that is going to be the ultimate peace. That is the ultimate shalom, because we are in the presence of God. And this is the kind of peace that comes with the fulfilled promise of old, but it might look different than what we've expected. When Christ came, it looked different than what the people expected. And think about this. Think about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and his story. His wife had died. They're in the middle of a bloody civil war. His son is severely injured. It's not the absence of conflict, but it is the presence of God that he reached into, that he received. And so the peace that I'm talking about today, the peace that is available to everybody in this room, is available in the midst of chaos. And that's when we come to recognize that the peace that Christ is offering is not necessarily about our circumstance. It's about the one who is faithful to walk with us even through the most difficult times. And that first Christmas morning, I mean, the angels, I mean, they broke out into song here. They're talking about this child who's born in the town of David, and they're saying he's going to be a better king who will rule and bring peace. And he's borrowing from this message. You know, the Israelites would kind of long for the good old days. You know, like when David was king, and the wars had ceased, and the kingdoms were united. And what the Christmas story is saying, okay, if that's the king, that's the kingdom you want, this is a much better story. This is a much better king, because this is the king of the universe that has come. And it's amazing, because what does God do? Comes as a baby. Comes as a baby in a manger. Like, most of you never put your babies in a manger, right? I mean, I say most of you. Yeah, cradle. Close. Not quite an animal trough. But we're reminded here, the peace did not come from mortal man, but it came from the divine. Jesus does for us what only God can do. And this announcement, here's the song they break into. 2:13, it says, "And suddenly with the angel," so they're freaked out. You know, they're freaked out because there's one angel. And then it says, "And suddenly with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts are praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Some translations say, and among whom God's favor rests. That would be like one of those, you know, like there's moments in the Bible where like, I would like to have been there to watch that out. You know, I don't know if I'd be shivering and scared to death with these other guys, but I think I'd like to be there to see that filled just full with the angels up in the sky and talking about God's favor. But there's something about God's favor. There's something about God's peace, God's hope, his joy, his love. We need to receive it. All right, it's not just like, you know, God puts it out there and we're like, oh, okay, I have it now. You got to receive it. Third point here, God's favor comes from being at peace with God. And so the Bible talks about that the most important place that you and I need to receive peace, it's not within the relationships or the circumstances around us. Sometimes that is extremely important. But the greatest need of peace that you and I need to have is between us and a holy God. We need this relationship right. If we don't get this right, what's the chances of getting this right? I've read the book. None. Zero. Okay? Get this right. We can get this right. And we can get this right. The book of Romans tells us there's a problem, though. Because we have other factors that are working in our lives, that rule in our lives. Romans 8:6-7 says this. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So think of the flesh. Just reverse that and spell it backwards and just put it his self or him or herself. Mindset on the flesh is I'm living my life by my own power, my own strength. And most of us think we're pretty good at making decisions and how to find hope, love, joy, peace, and all these things. But the Bible says we're really not. We actually make really bad choices. And in fact, beyond just a bad choice, the Bible says the mindset on the flesh, doing things my own way, how I think it should be, is death. Like, tell them what they win, okay? It's not a good door. Take door number two. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. I read that and go, okay, that's what I want. I want life and peace. For the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Like, okay, I'm doomed here. I read that and I'm like, I'm lost in my sin. My spirit, even my attitude, it's against God. And there's something in me that thinks I know better than God. I mean, isn't that the story throughout the Bible, right? You know, right in the garden? Hey, let's just do this instead. Let's eat this. What can go wrong? But there's this promise. There's this promise that God is going to step in. God is going to bring new rule to the entire world. And this baby that we celebrate grew up to be a man. And this man offered himself on the cross as an atonement for our sins. He took my sins. He took your sins on him at the cross. And so the peace that you and I find it at Christmas comes from submitting to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've talked with people before, and one of the things I ask them when they're struggling through something, I say, what would it look like to submit to the Lordship of Jesus? What does that look like in this particular situation? How would I reorientate my life centered around the person of Jesus Christ? And that's what he does. Christ actually reorientates our hearts and makes us friends with God through what he did on the cross. I read this a Christmas poem this week by a man named Brian Hart. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I like what he wrote in this poem. In the closing words, he wrote this: "The tree of life I made for man's good. The cross of death men made, not knowing that I would, as a carpenter's son, trade wood for wood." Wow. If there was ever such a gift, he offers the tree of life. We made a cross of death. And Jesus says, I'll take that trade. And I will give you life. And maybe today you're struggling to find peace. Maybe it could be that you're not at peace with God. You haven't experienced the joy of his salvation. But that peace is available to everyone here. Anybody that can hear my voice, this peace is available to you today. And because of God's grace, we can have faith. We can trust in Jesus. We can trust Jesus with all of our life. There's not an area of our lives that we can't trust him. And let me close in prayer. And I invite you to just pray this in your heart if this is true for you. Lord Jesus, I'm in need of the peace that you offer today. Lord Jesus, I want you to come and rule in my life. I confess, Lord, that there's times that I've sinned. And I've been at odds with you. I'm so thankful that you came. You came in a manger. You went to the cross. And because of what you did on the cross, I say, Lord, forgive me. Allow me to receive your favor, your grace. May I receive that today. Make me an agent of peace in the world today. And may my life reflect your love. Lord, have your way with us today. May each of us experience your peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the circumstances around us. Lord God, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.